Ăsta e trenul de Constanța. Eu sunt un om de înțeles, să știți, cu mine o să vă înțelegeți de minune, numai să fiți cu minți. Le fier bine, le speri, le dai în două ape, le scoți sâmburii și le pui la fiert. Excepțională.
Viața de freelancer podcast, unde înveți cum transformi freelance-ul în business.
Thank you very much again for being part of this this conversation. The first question is, you are the founder of Female Narratives, a creative agency that operates with the help of a community of over 100 female freelancers. Mm-hmm. What kind of services are you providing and what type of clients are you working with?
Well, I think since we started, we really wanted to broaden the definition of creative agency. Mm-hmm. And so we were saying, okay, if we can start a new company, what would we want to do? And we were seeing that in advertising, there was this like massive disconnect between the actual creatives and the founders of the company. And typically in the UK, advertising agencies are owned by white, middle-class, middle-aged men who are very disconnected from, if their target audience is millennial women, which is the brands that we typically work mm-hmm. with, they have no idea who those people are. So we thought that was strange, and we wanted to do a more direct connection between the two. Mm-hmm. And we felt like, okay, if we know all of these people, all of these amazing freelancers doing all this incredible stuff, why don't we just do that connecting? So we start our own agency, and we wanted to, from the beginning, we realized that agencies are really expensive for brands because agencies have a lot of overheads. They pay for an office, they pay for permanent staff, they pay for all sorts of different things. And so we wanted to shift those foundations. So we were like, if we are going to start something new, we can start it in a new way. Mm-hmm. So we have no permanent staff, everyone is freelance. We have no bricks and mortar building. It's all virtual, or we get together, private members clubs, wherever. And so those were our like two big things that were going to save us money. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, we wanted to sort of like create this community of freelancers. So I come from about, me and my co-founder have both been modeling for over 10 years. And so the system of modeling is, you have an agent, okay, and the agent takes 20% from your fee, or sometimes more, sometimes 30%. Mm-hmm. And what that creates is this weird working relationship with an agent where you sort of are like, you owe me. We're not really friends because you're taking 30% of everything I earn, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So there's this strange dynamic between us. And so I can never go to my agency as much as I wanted to and say, and use my initiative and say things like, oh, you know, you guys work with Converse, like, I love Converses, why don't I go to a bunch of music festivals, wear the Converses, I can write something about it because mm-hmm. I'm also a journalist, we can do a collaboration. They'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like,
hold your horses.
Hold up. That's not what we do here. They send us a brief of what the girl they need looks like. They have the brief. You can't pitch creative ideas to clients of modeling mm-hmm. agencies. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
So then I was going to the advertising agencies and being like, why don't you pitch it? And they'd be like, well, there's a whole process here that you're not a part of. And so I just felt like there was this real lack of direct connection between the two. And so there was this disconnect between how much my agent was taking. So what we wanted to do, or then on the complete opposite spectrum, we did our research and we were learning about lots of kind of women's networking clubs that you charge, you pay a subscription mm-hmm. to be a part of that club. And they do meetups and get-togethers, and we sit around in rooms and we talk about amazing things that could happen, and then everyone goes home. And I found that really weird too, because I was like, what are we working on? Like, where is the project? What is the thing? How can we make money off the back of this get-together? Mm-hmm. And why am I paying you? This is weird. So we kind of wanted neither of those options. So we don't charge a subscription to our collective, but our collective is really tight and we support it a lot and we host loads of events and we do stuff for our girls and we co-connect them all the time and we work on projects all the time. But we also don't charge our girls an agency fee on any projects that we work on with them.
Okay.
Because we didn't like that model either. What we do instead, and the only way that we really make money, is when we work on a big project, we charge an agency fee mm-hmm. for ourselves on top of to the client.
Yeah.
So whatever that freelancer has told me I'm £500 a day, I will pay them their £500 a day. I will be charging the client on top.
Yeah.
So that meant that it sort of shifted the dynamic of what we do completely. And now we have girls in our collective who might turn around to us and say, look, I'm just a makeup artist, but I work with this brand all the time. And I think that we could do something really cool with them. I have an idea, but you know, I'm not I don't do production. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And I would say, that's amazing. Let's do it. And they would kind of come on board as an executive producer mm-hmm. of this project because it's their client. It's their contact. So then, which would never happen in modeling. You would never have a model come up to an agent and be like, I know this brand. Why don't we work with them? Like, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
So the safety of the collective and the knowing that these women feel like they're being actively supported by us and that we're not trying to scam them or take money from them means that they often turn around to us and go, we have an idea. Let's try and make this possible. And then
so
I think
amazing.
With freelance, the problem I find so much with these women is that, and freelancers in general, is that they're very, very skilled and very good at what they do, which is their specific niche mm-hmm. thing. They're a 3D animator, they're an illustrator, they're whatever. But they're not very good at the dealing with money and like pitching themselves to a brand and saying,
yeah.
well, you should work with me and I cost this much and this is what you'll receive. Like, they're not good at the package and
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out how to sell themselves. So they'll tend to undersell themselves. And so that's my role. My role is to be kind of their like agent in a way, know their value, and be able to put these projects together and tell brands, you know, this is who we're going to use, they're amazing, and this is how much it will cost, because that's what they're really bad at. And that's where I think agencies or collectives are quite good.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
It's a lot of information. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a lot of information, but I think it's very valuable and very relevant information, because this is what we are trying to also do. We, Milk and Cookies, the agency that I'm running with my two awesome colleagues, it is a fluid agency. So we have the core team that
mm-hmm.
handles the strategy part and also handles the sales, the negotiation, and then we only use freelancers
mm-hmm.
and we work with freelancers closely to deliver. We
yeah.
don't have so many sellable skills, but we know how to deal with the clients. This gets us to the next question, that is, what are the biggest challenges from your point of view operating an agency that works mostly with freelancers?
Challenges in terms of working specifically with freelancers. I mean, obviously they're not on your team every
mm-hmm.
day, so it's about keeping in contact and keeping in touch with what they're doing, where they are. Like, I know pretty much the schedules of 100 women at any one given time. I know how much each one of them would charge. I know what they would like to do and not like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping tabs on that when they're not in the same room as you can be difficult. It also means managing all of the other stuff that they're doing. So I might really want to use this photographer, but she's shooting a million other things because she doesn't work for me. So it's about figuring out timetables and schedules and their other commitments and their other obligations, because they're not just waiting around for me to book them.
Yeah.
That's not how this works, because I wouldn't have enough work to go around for them to work all year round through me. So it's really about managing that. And I think that's probably the biggest issue. I haven't really found any other problems in terms of getting a bunch of people together and having them work together. It's always been great,
mm-hmm.
because I think when it's work, people are very professional
yeah.
and they do their jobs. And I think I admire actually the people at TEDx Bucharest, the organizers, because event production is very different to what we do, and events is a nightmare. I don't know if
yeah.
I can swear, but it's a shit show. And like, I've done one or two events before, and it's just such a nightmare. And the biggest issue is you're relying on people to come off of the goodness of their own heart.
Yeah.
Like, you're relying on people to show up that don't have to show up.
Yeah.
Which is hard to make people want to come somewhere. Whereas on the projects we do, when we do productions, I'm paying you to come.
Yeah.
You work, you're a freelancer, I've contracted you, you're going to come and do your job, which is a slightly different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a like, will he show up, won't he show up, like,
yeah.
I'm hoping you'll show up to do your
mm-hmm.
job. So to me, it's a little less stressful than the sort of production events world. But I think, and then obviously once everyone we have on our collective, we've either like worked with once, or I have a very good understanding of how they do work. They've come recommended, I've seen their work, we've had an in-person conversation about it. So I feel very confident about all the people that we do work with. There should and is a strong like vetting process
mm-hmm.
of who is on our collective. And I think people ask like, oh, how can I join? And I think the main thing is that, and it's not, I don't want to offend anyone, but it's like, if I can't visualize a way that we could work together in the near future based on the clients we have, the stuff that we're actively doing, the audience that we have, then it just doesn't make sense for me or you because we're realistically not going to work together. Like, we have amazing photographers who are like, I'm 10 grand a day, I'd love to be on your collective. And I'm like, I don't have clients that pay this much, right? So as much as you're award-winning and incredible and shoot for Vogue, like, I can't, it makes no sense for me to have you on my collective because I can't afford that.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think, other than really like scheduling and making sure that everyone's on the same page creatively, I don't think that there are any like major like fallbacks to working with freelancers.
I totally agree with you, but I was very curious about your perspective because you are coming from a market that it's a couple of years ahead of us, ahead of the Romanian market. I was curious, how are you right now? You know, this was the most common question that I encountered and I got from our community. It was like, how do freelancers find clients and how do they handle money?
Yeah. But like I said before, I feel like that's the biggest issue because, but I think it's hard because it goes down to this core essence of a problem of, people are either generally speaking split into creative and operational people. Mm-hmm. They're proactive or they're reactive.
Yep.
And you can't, it's very hard to be, if you're very extremely creative, it's very hard to be very extremely proactive or producery. And so what that means is if you're incredibly good, like if you're a filmmaker and you're a director and you have this amazing mind that can create stuff from scratch, you're then generally not very good at the detailed nitty-gritty production stuff. And so this concept of being a free, and on a film set, that makes sense because you have your job, the producer has theirs, there's like 65 different people doing very specific technique. There's the first focus puller, second focus puller, there's the first AD, second, there's like loads of people on a film set. But when you're a freelancer, you kind of have to be that really good technical person and your own personal PR and spokesperson and your own lawyer and your own accountant, and you have to be able to do your own invoices and stuff. And for some people that works really well because they like to be in control of everything that they're doing. I'm one of those people.
Okay.
But then I'm not very creative. So I'm a curator. I'm very good at curating, which is a type of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like, give me a blank page of paper, I will create something kind of creator. So a lot of those people, I think then it does make sense to be part of an agency or a collective or something like what you're doing, where you can have a web of other freelancers and there's somebody else doing the deal making for you. Even though I quite like to be in control of what I'm doing, and I'm very happy to tell brands how much, you know, say if I was freelance modeling, you know, this is how much I cost. But still, if it comes from somebody else, even if they're not a qualified agent, it always somehow seems more powerful and you'll probably get more money.
Mm-hmm.
If there's somebody else doing the sort of deal making and saying for you, because if you do it yourself, you'll be like, oh, what's the highest I can say without upsetting this person? Whereas your agent or whoever is acting as your agent will say, will hit some crazy high number that they know the other person will say no to, but they have to highball in order for them to lowball in order to meet somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So typically using an agent, even though they might take a percentage from you, will usually work in your favor in terms of how much you can get and in terms of how much it then takes off your plate in terms of organizing your life. Like if you're a creative and you need to be making this animation, you then don't also have time to be doing invoices and accounting and lawyering and stuff.
And
like it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard. You need to know that obviously you can't be good at everything. But I think if you do want to be solely a freelancer and just do your thing, the other problem with that is it's finite. So you will never be bigger than just yourself. Whereas if you can be part of a group, a collective, even if it's you and your friends getting together and being like, we're a collective, as soon as it gets bigger than you, then it has the space to grow beyond you, which then has the space to get you bigger projects with more money, da da da. So I think, as a freelancer, if you can connect into some kind of platform or community or collective, it could help you.
What advice would you give to a newly freelancer or first-time entrepreneur,
mm-hmm,
in order for them to maximize their chances of success?
I would say, what is your point of difference? Mm-hmm. What are you doing that is different to what everybody else in your specific industry is offering? And then how can you show that in the best possible way visually? What does your website look like? What does your Instagram look like? Mm-hmm. Where are people finding you? If it's Facebook, if it's Twitter. I don't, like, for example, for what we do, it's very visual. So Twitter is not a platform we use at all.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was a journalist, Twitter would be a platform that mm-hmm. I use. So it's really about what is the platform that I need to use? And I think it's almost better to pick one platform and like hone in your following there rather than disperse it over lots of different platforms. Like, figure out for your industry, what is my platform? Make a website, do whatever it is that needs to be done, make that look smashing, and then be like, what is my point of difference and my thing that people are coming to me for? Because if I just broadly do graphic design, that's too broad. Like, what is your interest within that? Because I might need a graphic designer for something, but I have 25 graphic designers mm-hmm. that like to do different things. So then I know, okay, if it's this kind of design, I will go to this person. You need to be the person that I think of when I think of that design. And I think people get scared of going too niche because they think, oh, people won't want to choose. They'll think that that's the only kind of design I do when I can do everything. But I would say don't be afraid of going niche, because you would be shocked at the number of people that use Instagram as a tool for hiring and for mm-hmm. freelancers. And they are trolling Instagram looking for interesting people doing interesting specific things. And sometimes they need that very specific thing. Like the girl that spoke on stage yesterday about 8-bit animation.
Mm-hmm.
That's super specific yeah. in my mind, right? But she now has her own style of 8-bit animation. So I think if you can do your thing and like hone in on that thing and be really good at it, people will find you. Use hashtags, hashtag 8-bit animation, if that's your thing. And people will find you in the most astonishing ways. So I think USP, what do you do that's different? And then if possible, try and build this tribe, this community of other people that are generally within that network, and they don't have to be in your country. I think mm-hmm. that's the amazing thing about the internet and being freelance, is you can find other people that are doing similar or relevant or complementary things to what you're doing that don't have to live in the same city or country or continent as you. And you can sort of form a digital tribe and sort of like see where that goes.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.